I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast. We like spooky things, and most of all, we like to self-care for ourselves.
Self-care,
do it now. Who cares? Self-care, self-care, do it, do it. Also, we forgot to mention our last episode that we are at a year, so thanks to all the support we've had.
A whole year. It's been really fun. Year.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a
fun creative outlet for us.
It's been a fun way to talk about true crime, which we love to do anyway, so I mean, it's a little more research than what we were doing before, but it's good to have all our facts and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for your support,
Yeah, thanks friends. For the continued support. And Danae, what did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I was gonna, like, I had all these things that I wanted to do. But ultimately, on Monday, I think it was, I was like, I want to just, like, cook and, like, make some meals for the week and kind of, like...
What'd you make?
Prep, you know?
Yeah.
So, I made, I took, like, some of our leftovers, and I was like, we need to use these. So, we had some leftover mac and cheese from this barbecue place, and it was, like...
I'd love to say yum, but no.
It was, like, okay mac and cheese.
Was it that place that's, like, up here?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Hogback.
Keith was talking about how we should go there when we were driving here.
We should. Well, I think I just ordered the wrong thing. I didn't want barbecue, so I was like, I just want the mac and cheese.
I was like, okay.
And so I spruced up the mac and cheese. I made, like, broccoli mac and just, like, made it better. And then I made, we had some leftover, like, red pasta stuff. So I, like, sautéed some mushrooms, onions, peppers, and zucchini and, like, added that to it.
Look and then
I made a soup. So yeah, I like...
You made chili tonight. That was so good. Oh my god.
It was a good day for chili.
Yeah. It was like... It's been like 100 degrees and then today it was just like 60 and we're like...
And raining.
The fuck, Colorado? Day. Yeah. So when you were like, we're gonna do something comfy and cozy, I'm like, fuck yeah, we is.
Yeah.
So I was excited.
So and yeah, just kind of...
I wore a sweatshirt because I haven't been able to wear a sweatshirt in a while. It's you hang up one that you
I'm also... excited for comfy season.
I would like to say I am, but then like the first time I walk outside and it's cold, I'm like, fuck this, I'm out.
So, yeah, the first time it snows, I'm like, ew, I hate it.
Now I'm mad. Yeah, pretty much. So that's fun.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I'm sure you've seen the Instagram post, but I got to see, like, Aspen's mini-me.
Oh, my God.
Who's not the same breed as Aspen at all.
What's his name? It's a little puppy?
His Chance.
He's so cute.
And he looks just like Aspen, and he has the dorky ears that Aspen had. It's, oh, my God. It's so cute.
He's precious.
Oh, he's so precious. And him and Spen were, like, playing with each other, and...
Aww.
She was, like, pulling on his ears, and he was pulling on her ears. It was so cute.
How old is he, do you know?
I have no idea. Whatever. But he's pup status,
he's so.
He's so
cute.
He's so cute. I even told Scott, I was like, you're gonna come to a movie night, and you're gonna bring Chance, right? And he's like, oh, no. I was like, bitch, you're gonna bring Chance.
Bring the puppy.
And no one gets hurt.
Right? Oh, my God, he's so
cute. That's what I did for self-care. So what are you gonna tell me about this week?
So,
you've been really excited about it, so I'm excited.
I have a theme, and I'm glad you're wearing your ghost face sweatshirt.
I'm wearing my ghost face sweatshirt.
Because I'm going to tell you about the Scream murders.
I'm excited.
Two stories for you. One that inspired Scream, and then one that was inspired by Scream.
Ooh, okay. So do it.
I'll start off.
Do it right.
With
do it good. I'm done.
The Gainesville Ripper. And I have an ass load of sources that I will put in the show notes because I don't want to say all of them. There's like a million.
That's crazy that I wore this sweatshirt and you just.
But one of the main ones I do want to shout out is season 3, episode 14 of World's Most Evil Killers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've watched that show.
It's a pretty good show. The narrator's a little extra, but like it had good information.
They should let us narrate it.
Yeah. Because like British people, like he's like, and the hit. Like, I don't know.
It's can just, you believe?
Can you
what believe? What this man has done?
How dare he? And it's just like, dude, take it down like 5 notches.
How dare he? No, we agree, but like.
No, totally. But
like, I'm tired. Why are you like, yelling chill. At me?
So yeah, this is the story of the killing rampage that inspired writer Kevin Williamson to write the cult classic horror movie Scream.
I love that movie.
So, we're going back.
I just want to mention that one of our movie nights, because we've had what?
One.
Two?
Two.
We watched Scream.
Oh, and then what was that Scream. Other one? We watched some other weird movie.
It was with a bunny. It was weird.
It was weird.
Run, Rabbit, Run or something. Don't watch it. Sorry, guys.
Run, Rabbit, Run. Sorry. It's like
that song. But I had to mention how much we love Scream. That was like the first movie we watched. Yeah. So, on with the tale.
So we're going back 33 years to the date. August of 1990.
Okay, I was about to say 89, but then I'm like, nice try.
We're in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
And Gainesville is a college town. So students.
What's college?
It's university.
FSU?
There was a couple of different ones. There was University of Florida, Northern something, and then there was like a couple community colleges.
Well, because I know University of Florida is like the Gators and like.
Yeah.
The Gators. That's where
Gators.
That's where Gatorade came from. Fun fact.
Really?
Uh-huh. It was for the University of Florida.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Fun fact. I guess that makes sense. I never really like wondered why they called it Gatorade. I just was like, that's what it is.
But I always like was like, oh, that makes the name make sense.
Huh.
So
I never knew.
Yeah, you learned something new. Okay, sorry. Okay, Gainesville,
anyway,
Florida.
College
we're there.
Town.
Cool.
So, you know, it's August. School is starting soon. So a whole bunch of students have flooded into the town from all over to kind of, you know, get their dorm set up.
Sure.
Meet their roomies. Get ready for the new school year.
I do not envy
yada,
that
yada,
time.
Yada, as you do being a student. So little did they know that their town would be terrorized for the next 2 to 3 months while a violent serial killer was on the loose. Enter 36-year-old creep-ass Danny Rowling. He was born.
Why do I not know this name? Because usually I know names. This one I have no idea.
I don't know.
I can't help you.
I don't know. Either way, he's
sorry.
Gemini. He was born May 26, 1954.
Okay, but that's my dad's birthday, so never mind. He's great.
Serial killer. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm totally kidding.
What year was it?
The year right now that we're in is 1990. Cool. He was born in 1954.
Okay.
So he was also born in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, so super close to like Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Danny kind of had a shit childhood. His dad was a policeman who was horribly abusive. Basically he constantly reminded Danny that he was a mistake, he was never wanted, and he was told repeatedly that he was useless. And obviously that's gonna, like, fuck a child up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the child, not for the adult.
Totally.
So I'm like sad now because he's a kid.
Yeah. His dad allegedly would beat him for breathing wrong. So he was...
So any reason he could find.
Yeah, he was an asshole. Danny had a younger brother, and his mom would try to protect her kids by leaving the dad for small bouts of time, but, you know, she would return. And unfortunately, his mom ended up having a mental breakdown, and she ended up not really being around all that much for his childhood because she was dealing with a lot of mental issues from the abuse of the dad.
Yeah.
So baby Danny, well, not baby, but child Danny.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Would sneak out at night and he would peep into his neighbor's windows.
What is it with these fucking creepers peeping? I feel like we've had a lot of stories of peepers.
Yeah. Well, and this is like really sad. So at first it like wasn't in a sexual way. It was... He literally would, like, watch all the normal families have, like, their family dinners.
Okay, that just made my heart hurt.
I know, right? Like, so sad. So he would be like, why is my family not like that? Why does no one love me?
Why does
like,
the dad and mom and children sit at a table and laugh and tell jokes? Like,
that's... like he would literally, like, spy on these families and, like, wonder, like, why his family was so fucked up.
Oh, my God, that's heartbreaking.
I know, right? But then, a few years later... his peeping habits did become sexual. He was caught several times peeping into his neighbor's windows, specifically at girls his age.
So it did turn sexual.
Yeah, it turned sexual. Yeah. And he gained a reputation as a weirdo. Which happens.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. So he's kind of like following the path of weird escalations, right? Like,
yeah,
that we often see in these kinds of
things. We see a lot of escalations that just start off innocuous and maybe even innocent, and then it just turns into sinister. Worse. Yeah.
So as a teen, he actually had a physical altercation with his dad, and from that he was locked up in juvie for a few months.
What happened to the dad? I guess the dad was caught.
And he was fine because he's older and bigger and whatever. So he just kind of has a tumultuous childhood. Things aren't good. He's not in a good space.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when he gets a little bit older, he decides to join the military. And I believe it was the Army that wouldn't take him. So he ended, or excuse me, it was the Navy that wouldn't take him.
Okay.
So he ended up joining the Air Force. Criminologists.
Okay. Sorry, I have to stop you really quickly. I don't know if you know this, but one of the hardest branches to get into is the Air Force. And then it's like Marines. So it's funny, you're like...
I don't know. The Navy didn't want him.
Marines, Navy, Army. I'm not sure that's why I'm like, what the criteria was. So he went to the Air Force. I'm like, oh.
I don't know.
So, sorry, I was just like,
oh, he got there.
Yeah.
But criminologists say that he was basically like looking for structure since he had none growing up.
I mean, that makes total sense.
Right?
Yeah.
But he started abusing alcohol.
Oh no.
And then his alcohol abuse turned into substance abuse and he was kicked out of the military. So in 1974, Danny met a chick at church and they got married and then they had a baby. And even though it seemed like he was kind of like starting off what seemed to be like a normal life.
Yeah, normalcy.
He was still struggling with substance abuse. Danny's wife was kind of like, fuck this.
This
you were
is
always
stupid.
Under the influence. I'm over it. Goodbye. So she divorces him after only 3 years of marriage.
I was about to say, how long were they together?
Yeah, not long. This particular failure set Danny off. And he went on a burglary streak. He just burglarized a whole bunch of places. I don't know. So it goes from peeping Tom to petty crimes to now he's
I drove my wife off. I'm going to rob everybody.
Yeah, like, we're just like, okay, relax. So he, of course, gets caught, and then he spends 8 years locked up in the Shreveport jail. And so basically, like, Danny's whole issue is that his father always told him that he was useless and a mistake, and that he would never amount to shit.
So I'm sure he felt that way.
Yeah. So obviously, that shit starts to sink in, and it fucks with your head.
Yeah.
So when he fails at this, and he fails at that, and he fails at all of these things in his life, it just further validates the idea that
his dad was right.
His dad was right.
Yeah.
Which pisses him off. And so he starts to believe that he has to prove his dad wrong.
Oh my God.
And that he can be successful. And instead of, like, I don't know, breaking the cycle of abuse and, like, focusing his energy on being a good husband or a good dad or, like,
something,
raising his child in a way that is different from how he was raised, he just gets this idea that he's gonna just kill people and he's gonna be good at it.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt so low in your life? You're like, no. You know what?
I'm gonna kill someone.
I'm gonna go kill people.
No, I've never. How the
fuck do you get to that conclusion?
I don't know. He's clearly dealing with a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah, I've never been like, and a lot of my abuse. Dad, I'm gonna go kill people. Like, no.
Yeah. So he sees, you know, his marriage as a failure, and he sees getting caught from all this, like, being a robber.
Burglary?
Burglary.
It doesn't sound right.
I don't know. Whatever.
Burglary.
I was trying to say burglarizing. Is that right?
I think so. Well, if you don't know what we mean,
robbery streak, whatever. That's also a failure because he got caught. And he's got 8 years in jail. So when Danny's 8-year sentence is up, he ends up back at his terrible childhood home. And this is when he decides that he's going to prove his dad wrong. And
by that he's killing not a failure. His dad?
Not quite.
Okay.
Except for that, he, like, still is a failure. Like, everything this guy does is, like, not to be mean, but, like,
get it together. You can be mean. I know we do not like this gentleman, so be mean.
Okay, yeah. But, like, really, get it together. So, May of 1990, this is when Dan really lost his shit. The month before I was born.
When you were just a twinkle in your mom's stomach, literally, and she was probably like, kicking this her. Kid.
Get her out. But he, like, can't keep a job, right? So, I mean, not a surprise to anyone.
What?
Yeah. He actually had a job as a butcher and ended up partially cutting off one of his fingers. And then a few weeks later, he gets fired because he did a no-call, no-show. And he's pissed off because it was like he felt like it was some kind of miscommunication, but, like, it wasn't. And so he's once again raging. And he decides he's got to do something with all this pent-up anger. Danny had developed a crush on a young 24-year-old woman, Judy Grissom.
Sometimes you fall in love with a 24-year-old, it happens.
I don't know.
Your brother was 24 when I met him.
Oh, okay. I was sure.
You're like, yes.
Of course. So he has this crush on this woman, Judy Grissom, who worked at a local department store. Although I would not describe his crush as harmless, he decides that he's going to follow her home.
Wait, is that weird?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
I should stop doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, he's, like, escalating again. Now he's stalking.
That's terrifying. That's really scary.
Right? So he followed her home. And, okay, this is so creepy. And he looks into her windows. He's, like, watching her, right? And he's triggered because he sees Judy, her grandfather Tom, and her little 8-year-old nephew Sean all being a happy, dandy family.
No.
So it brings him back to when he was a child, looking into his neighbor's windows.
How dare she be happy?
Seeing those happy families.
Oh, God.
So he's already, like, unstable, right? Then he sees this. Then he's, like, really not good. Now his rage is, like, boiled over.
Oh, why?
Yeah. So, like I said, he's
just Did she even know he existed?
Not okay. I don't know. I don't know if she, like, really knew of him or if maybe, like, he was just someone that you know, you see at your job and you're just like, oh, hey, it's that guy. But I don't think
oh,
they, like...
Oh, hey, it's him.
I don't think they, like, talked or anything.
Oh, that's even creepier.
Right? So Danny breaks into the home.
Oh.
He assaulted Judy.
Jesus.
And then he annihilated the whole family.
What?
Uh-huh. Even the little 8-year-old nephew, Sean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he left her alive?
No. Danny, after he assaulted her, he cleaned up her body and he posed her in a sexually explicit position.
What a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Oh.
So how? Then he fled. He's like, goodbye, can't be here anymore. 2 days later, the family is discovered by neighbors and the people of Shreveport are just horrified. Like, how could this have happened? Who would have done this? Like, everyone is shocked. Like, it just doesn't make sense. In Danny's mind, he thinks it's a win. He has finally succeeded at something in his life. So he went home to gain his father's approval and ends up shooting him.
His dad?
His dad.
Oh.
His dad ends up surviving, but he did lose an ear and an eye. After this altercation, Danny runs from his hometown of Shreveport and decides to go to college town Gainesville.
And how old is he at this point?
This point, he's 36.
Okay. Well, I was like, is he going to stick out like a sore thumb, like a, you know, like a 50-year-old trying to be like a 22-year-old?
Hey, guys, but... I like school and college.
Hello, fellow kids. How do you do? Have you seen that?
Yeah, with Paul Rudd.
No, not Paul Rudd. Oh, my God. What's the guy? He was in Billy Madison. Oh, my God. He was in Boardwalk Empire. Steve Buscemi.
Oh,
he's like,
oh,
how do you do, fellow kids?
That yeah, that's funny. But there's also one with Paul Rudd where he, I think it was more recently, and he's like talking about like COVID or something. He's like, hey, kiddos, like, what's the hip-hop
full cap
happening?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like really funny. Anyway, so he goes to Gainesville, but he, like, has a fake identity, and his new name is Michael Kennedy Jr. Basic white what guy name.
Sir.
Yeah.
My name is John F. Kennedy
Whoa.
Jr. Like.
Yeah, shut up.
Sir. Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Along the way, he stopped in Tallahassee to buy a big-ass combat knife. So we know shit's not going to end well.
Was this the time during Ted Bundy? Because Ted Bundy was also, like, in Tallahassee.
This was 1990, so...
Oh, never mind.
After that.
Leave Tallahassee alone, guys.
God. Leave the college kids alone.
Yeah. They're just trying to have sex and, like, do drugs. Leave them alone.
Sin.
And sin. Have you ever seen that, like, meme? That, like, what are you doing this weekend? Eating cheese and sinning? I was like, I can't relate to that, unfortunately.
It's just the cheese part. The sinning, yeah.
The sinning, absolutely. Don't throw me with the best time ever.
So when Danny gets to Gainesville, he, like, makes a camp in the woods. So he's essentially homeless. He, like, sets up a tent.
You call it camping, I call it not having a home. You know, tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. So he makes his camp in the woods, and he, like, has his plan in mind. He's set on murdering people. He just wants to.
Oh,
like, that's
my God, sir.
His fucking game plan. So this finally brings us to August 23rd, 1990, which was yesterday's date.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which I didn't know until I, like, researching. I was like, what?
That happens a lot. You're researching shit and you're like, oh, that was like a week ago, like last year, you know, like whatever year it was.
So Danny noticed two young brunettes who looked eerily similar to his ex-wife. The freshman roommates were Sonia Larson and Christina Powell. He decided these were his victims.
Of fucking course.
He followed them home and watched them as they watched them as he waited for it to get dark. When the girls went to bed, he used a screwdriver to break into their apartment. Christina was asleep on the couch, and he had decided that she was like his main target, so he snuck upstairs and attacked Sonia in her room. He duct taped her mouth and stabbed her repeatedly until she died. Then he went back downstairs, duct taped Christina's mouth and hands, and then raped her at knife point. And when he finished, he stabbed her to death. So this is like his weird thing that he does. He cleaned up the bodies.
How have I never heard of this? This is insane.
Yeah. And he posed them in sexually suggestive ways.
Oh, fucking course, is gross ass dude.
Mm-hmm. So Christina was described as a sweet young woman, and Sonia was going to school to get a degree so that she could be an educator. She loved children.
Aww.
I just wanted to like throw a little bit in about
them.
The it's next unfortunate day,
they didn't get to meet their full potential, you know?
Right. They're like literally like about to start their first year of college and
this shit happens.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's just, it's terrible. So the very next day, Danny had already found his next victim.
Oh, joy.
18-year-old Krista Hoyt. So same thing. He broke in through the sliding door with the screwdriver.
Was this just he picked somebody or was this like his ex-wife?
She also, this one looked the most like his ex-wife.
Okay, this is like Ted Bundy shit. Because he picked girls that look like his Stephanie type. Brooks.
Yeah. It's so creepy.
So creepy.
But it's like the same, he does the same thing. He breaks in with the screwdriver. But this time, she wasn't home. So he just waited for her. And when Krista came home, he surprised her and put her in a chokehold. When she passed out, he bound and gagged her, assaulted her, and stabbed her to death.
Oh my God.
He, again, posed his victim in a provocative position. But this time, he took it a step further. So this is, like, really fucked up. If you're, like, queasy or you don't want to hear graphic details,
do I have to hear
skip
it?
Skip ahead. I'm not going to give you, like, full graphic details, okay. But you need to know that he decapitated her.
Oh, God.
And when he positioned her,
she positioned her head towards.
Her body was propped up on the bed, like sitting. And then on a bookshelf, he placed her head in, like, looking at the body. So, like,
her own head was looking at the body. Maybe I did hear the story. I remember that, and that's all I remember. It's just
which is just beyond fucked up.
Yeah.
Like I said, Krista, of all his victims, looked the most like his ex-wife, which is why it is suspected that her murder was even more so violent than the others.
Mm-hmm.
So Christina and Sonia, the first two victims, their parents were concerned that they hadn't heard from their daughters. And days after their murders, police were sent for a wellness check and found the grisly scene.
So it was just those two living together?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. Shortly after, when Krista didn't show up for her job at the Alachua, I don't know if I'm saying that right, county sheriff's office, her body was also discovered. Krista dreamt of being a police officer.
Oh.
Yeah.
All these girls were doing things that were selfless. Like, one of them wanted to be a teacher and then one wanted to be a police officer, so they wanted to, like, help people.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so heartbreaking.
It's just so sad.
Yeah.
So news of the three murders spread quickly in the college town and people were freaked the fuck out. Students were using the buddy system. They were carrying around bats to protect themselves. They were double, triple checking, making sure that they locked their doors. They shouldn't
have to be like that, looking over their shoulder. Yeah. Like, you should never have to do. I mean, you do, but you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, but everyone was terrified.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he did get caught, I guess.
Yeah. But Danny had no intention of slowing down or stopping his rampage.
So here's my question. So he already annihilated an entire family mm-hmm. and three females at this point.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. His number's just right. going up.
But the family, remember, was back in his hometown.
Okay.
Of Shreveport.
Yeah. Okay.
Then he fled to Gainesville to like yep. kill college kids.
Thank you for reminding me. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So he'd already found his next victim. Fourth victim, 23-year-old Tracy Paulus. So now it's August 27th. This is just a matter of days when all of this
yeah, I'm down. Saying this is like, because that it started on the 23rd mm-hmm. and we're at three victims and it's already the 27th.
Yeah.
So he's like picking a victim a day.
Yeah. Like he's
disgusting.
Really going for it. Danny once again breaks into the home where Tracy lives. However, he didn't realize that Tracy had a roommate who was a big, burly dude named Manuel Tabadoa, I believe is how you say that. Also known as Manny. So Manny was asleep when Danny broke in, and he proceeded to fight Danny because he's like, why is there this fucking intruder? And they're both, like, kind of big dudes. I think they were both 6'2".
So oh, wow.
They're both like pretty big men.
How tall
and
is Steven?
Steven is, I think, 6 foot.
Okay. So I'm just trying to like,
yeah.
Keith is also 6 feet. So, wow. So bigger than them. And then yeah. they're fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were fighting for a while. Like Manny really put up a good fight trying to get Danny out the of
fuck
the house
out. Yeah.
Unfortunately, after this long struggle, Danny did kill Manny.
Oh,
I know, like that's so terrifying.
And the roommate, where was she asleep?
So she woke up when she heard all the
yeah commotion. I was about to say so okay
and she locked herself in her room, but with Manny out of the way, now Danny got to Tracy.
Yeah.
So all he had between himself and Tracy was a locked door.
Yeah.
And he's fucking crazy. So he just kicks it down and gets to her. And it's the same thing. He gagged, bound, and assaulted Tracy before stabbing her repeatedly. Then he cleaned her body and posed her. Manny wanted to be an architect.
Aww.
And Tracy wanted to be a lawyer. So police obviously put together that, you know, this is a serial killer. We've got
a person
who is targeting small brunette
after four women. Days. Yeah, you would. It's all connected.
And it's fucked up because Danny's dad was a cop, so he knew how to clean up a crime scene. And they had a bunch of DNA, but none of it matched anyone in their systems.
And kind of like last week's story, like last they had a DNA, hit, but it wasn't like an ID.
But they can't like match it sure. if they don't have
yeah
the other part of it.
Yeah.
So finally in January 1991, police get a break. Due to the similarities in the murders of the Grissom family in Shreveport and the Gainesville murders, police acquired DNA from prisoners from the Shreveport prison. Because it was the 90s, and, you know, DNA wasn't exactly where it is today, they did find that Danny's DNA was similar enough to the Gainesville murders that they could charge him with murder. So because he had been locked up in Shreveport,
mm-hmm.
now they had that, like, who is this? Oh. How can we match it?
Okay.
So they finally matched it to Danny.
Thank God.
Danny immediately confessed to the Gainesville murders, and in February of 1994, he pleaded guilty to all charges against him. On April 20th, 1994, he was sentenced to death. And the night before his execution, he finally confessed to murdering Julie, Tom, and Sean Grissom. Because he confessed to the Gainesville murders.
So the last confession was the original family he had murdered.
Yeah.
Okay.
He finally, like, because when they first arrested him, he was like, oh yeah, I've killed all these people in Gainesville. But he never confessed to killing the Grissom family.
I mean, I'm glad, like, that family finally got, like, the closure. As much as you can get closure. I say closure loosely.
But, like, he admitted it, you know? Yeah. So that probably felt good on some kind of level.
Yeah, just knowing what happened.
Yeah. And then in October, on October 25th of 2006, he was executed by lethal injection at the age of 52.
We should have just, like, made him, like, suffer a little bit longer.
Right? Like, sometimes I don't know if it's, like, medieval or something, but I'm like, you should fucking suffer.
We should put him in a burning bowl.
Yeah. Or one of those, like, cage things that they used in, like, olden times where there's, like, pokey things on either side and then it just, like, slowly smushes you shut.
I'm thinking what we saw at the Ren Fair.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Some, like,
the one where they go down the track into the knife.
Into the knife, or like the rats eat your innards.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Lethal injection's too good for him.
It's too quick. So yeah, that was the story that inspired Scream. Now I'm going to give you a story of murder that was inspired by Scream.
I think I know this one, and it is crazy. Booked and I up. Love hearing it.
So this is the story of Cassie Jo Stoddart.
She was so pretty.
Yeah.
She's so pretty.
And this one, I want to give a shout out to one of my coworkers. He probably doesn't listen, but Jordan told me this one.
Jordan!
Jordan! Because I was like, tell me, like, what murder stories do you know? I need ideas. And so he told me this one because he is from Pocatello, Idaho.
Did I tell you, sorry, really quickly, did I tell you the one time I was like, hey, Mason, I need a, he doesn't listen to our show.
Yeah.
I'm like, what murder case should I do? And he just kept naming shit we'd already done. He was like, well, there was this town that was like,
listen,
there was this bully. And I was like, Ken McElroy. Danae did that like last week. I was like, I need another one. He kept like saying stuff. And I'm like, Danae or I did that one already. And he was like, well, how many episodes? And I'm like, literally like not even 60. Give me good shit. It didn't happen. Sorry. I was just like, that made me think of what I did to Mason. I'm like, I already know that one.
Right. And this one, I didn't really know that much about. I feel like I had heard of it at some point, but I didn't really know the details. So I used a couple of different sources on this. And I finally listened to Bailey Sarian.
Don't you love her?
I didn't watch the tutorial. It was like on Spotify. Yeah,
she has a podcast too. So
I just listened. I didn't watch the makeup part.
Isn't she hilarious?
I love her. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's really funny. And she's like, in that? Suspicious.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite.
All right. Yeah, so she was a really good source. And I'll put the other ones in the show notes.
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to September 24th, 2006, Pocatello, Idaho. 16-year-old Cassie Jo Stoddart was found stabbed to death in the home of her aunt and uncle. Tragically, her 13-year-old cousin Kelsey was the first to walk into the home. They had been like on vacation and she was house-sitting. So
she was watching the dogs, right?
I don't know if they had dogs. She was just house-sitting. Mm-hmm. But her poor 13-year-old cousin walked in and found Cassie Jo dead. So like I said, Cassie Jo had been house-sitting while her cousin, aunt, and uncle were out of town. So they were, like, completely shocked to find her like this. Like, she was a responsible student. She was straight-A student. She was well-liked by her peers. Mm-hmm. She was beautiful. She was just, like, one of those kids that was, like, going places, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's go back to 2 days before, which was the night of the murder on September 22nd of 2006. Cassie had invited her boyfriend Matt Beckham over to watch a movie and keep her company. And then Matt invited his friends, and I guess Cassie's acquaintances, Brian Draper and Tori Adamczyk as well. So the boys were kind of thinking, oh, it's going to be a house party. But Cassie was a rule follower. She was like, dude.
No, we're watching a movie. Like,
Matt, I told you, like, only you're allowed over here. And what's your fucking weird friends over here, too? But she was, like, really nice.
We all had the boyfriend who invited his weird fucking friends. And you're like, why are you here?
I'm just trying to make out with you.
Yeah. Do you not want that?
God. Bring your cock block friends over.
Good job.
Now you're not getting any. So, yeah. She's just kind of, like, annoyed because she's like, she wants to hang out with her boyfriend. She doesn't want to hang out with, like, three dudes.
And how often at that age do you get to hang out with your boyfriend alone?
Alone.
Like, never. You never got
like,
that.
Like, not in a car.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So.
Nay, what were you doing? Were you going on dates? Because I wasn't.
Sometimes. But yeah, so she's just kind of like, fine, whatever. It's
yeah.
fine.
Your friends
we'll
are here,
watch
minis.
It'll yeah. be fine. So Brian and Tori were these like self-proclaimed outsiders. They enjoyed making movies.
I was about to say, were they like the movie club guys? I'm thinking Scream 4, you know which one mm-hmm. the
yeah.
guys I'm talking about.
What do they call it, like AV club or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so they're like upset. Oh, sorry. I'm like so burpy and hiccupy.
That's welcome to being pregnant.
Yeah, it's
my sister would get in these fits where she's like and she's like burping. She's like, I'm sorry.
No, I make like the weirdest sounds to it. Like, Steven's like, are you okay? I don't know. I think.
Have you ever opened your mouth and like some weird gasp came out that you didn't make? Your body made
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's like exactly what it is. And it's like at night too. And he's
I'm
just
having
like,
that
you?
Happen to me every day. And I'm like not pregnant. So.
I don't know what it is. Anyways.
Well, that you know is my body making choices for me.
Stefandre Jr. So, yeah, they like making movies, they like talking about movies, they're all about watching movies, they're like...
I would say same, but I'm not as creepy as these fucking creeps.
But they're also like those annoying people that are like, fun tidbit, and you're like, oh my god.
Wait, did you think Titanic was a good movie? Well, let me tell you why it's
oh
not.
God,
and you're like,
yeah.
shut the
I
fuck up.
I don't need like a whole dissertation yeah. of like your analysis of this movie. So anyways... Their high school classmates often witness the boys videotaping each other, brainstorming what their next movie would be, talking, like, they're always fucking, they've got a camera in their hand at
the
all times.
The videos they do is so creepy about this.
Yeah. So they were even overheard, like, planning their next film, which would be a slasher flick. It was inspired.
Do we want to make a slasher flick tomorrow?
We could watch a slasher flick.
Like, no, we're not making one.
We're not making one. I'm not an actor.
So I'm just imagining. Oh, no. Guys, I'm over this. I don't want to do it. I'm like, Danae, just do it. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No. I remember, like, I signed up for theater in high school. And the first day, they were, like, telling us what we were going to do. And I was like, fuck no.
Yeah, I'm out.
Immediately walked to the counselor's office. And I was like, I need a different class. Then go. I don't want to do this.
I did well in theater.
People said that it was fun, and I was like, none of this sounds fun. This sounds horrible.
Act without saying anything.
Let's
like
improvise. Ew. No.
Improv. No, thank you.
Absolutely
I'll
not.
I'll do literally anything.
That sounds so fucking embarrassing. Okay, anyways.
Love it.
So, what their peers didn't know... was that when they overheard the boys talking about their horror movie plans, it was actually, like, real. Like, the two had come up with a really fucked up plan to actually murder someone. And not just someone, they had a whole death list of people they wanted to kill.
Oh, wow.
And one of the names on that list was
Cassie Jo
Stoddart.
Yep.
So, although they considered her a friend... they said, like, in one of their videos, they were like, well, someone has to be sacrificed. And then they, like, laugh about it. And it's like...
no one has to what? Be sacrificed, actually. Like...
actually, like, no one
I looked
all.
It up just now. No.
Like, you don't need to kill anyone, you fucking psychos. So they're deeply inspired by the movie Scream. And they thought of themselves as the real life versions of Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker.
That's not a good thing.
Right.
I'm like, pick literally anyone else. Like,
yeah.
They die at the end. Fun fact. They die at the end.
Okay. And so you know how like in the movie, like Billy and Stu are like, they're kind of like quippy and like dark, but like, I don't know, witty, I guess.
Okay. I always thought Billy was a fucking creep. And I didn't even know what he did. No, everyone's like, he was so hot. I'm like, so no, hot. He fucking wasn't. I always like watch that. And I'm like, oh, he makes my skin crawl. And everyone's like, no, he doesn't. I'm like, no, he does.
Yeah, no, he does a good job of being a mega creep. But I was still like, low key, like, he's fucking hot.
You know, I thought I made horrible decisions in men, Danae, but I'm learning.
He's a good looking man. And his like, wispy hair and his eyes, like,
yeah, like,
it's a good look.
No,
okay, anyways, Danae,
no. Danae,
they think that they're like Billy and Stu, and they're like,
I don't know,
nothing like these characters. No. Like, it's so embarrassing. They have all these like videotapes of them being like, we're so smart, we're gonna like kill and like all that shit, and it's just like, dude,
you're not that smart, you're filming yourself talking about killing.
You're literally admitting it, and now there's like evidence and proof.
Who's smart now? Not like, you.
It's just so cringe.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So okay, the two boys ended up staying for a couple hours before they got bored, and then they announced that they were actually gonna go to the movie theaters and see Slayer 4. So they left Cassie and Matt, and they're like, goodbye. We're going to see an actually good movie. Be-be-de-be-be-be. And Cassie's like, goodbye. Okay,
bye, Felicia.
God, can I make out with my boyfriend yet? 2 hours after the movie buffs left, Cassie and Matt were just like chilling.
Movie buffs. Go on, I love it.
Yeah. Cassie and Matt were chilling, probably making out, let's be real, when the power shut off. So Cassie was super spooked because her aunt and uncle's house was kind of like, it wasn't in the middle of nowhere, but it was secluded.
Yeah.
So it had, I think the neighbors were like half a mile away or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark, there's trees around.
You're not going to hear people freaking out. Totally. Like, it's not a place you want to live when like danger strikes.
Yeah. Because you're not close to anything.
Yeah.
So she's creeped out, and then, you know, she's just kind of like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening? But Matt is a good boyfriend, and he's like, relax, it's fine, everything's fine. What was really happening is that the two boys were outside fucking with the power box thing, you know?
Those movie buffs.
The fucking
movie buffs. I tell you what. Fucking weirdos.
And they thought that like in a movie, Matt and Cassie would come outside and be like, hello,
who's
out there,
I can hear you breathing.
Yeah, like, no one shut does up. That you stupid idiots. So they didn't come outside, they were just like inside, like,
when the power
people.
Goes out, I like,
I'm locking,
I just
my
sit
doors.
There,
yeah, like, what am I, I'm not gonna go check the box thing. Yeah. Like, I don't even.
If I hear a noise, that's between that noise and Jesus.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So the power comes back on. Matt just comforts Cassie, and he's like, it's fine, whatever. So finally the time comes where Matt has to go home. His mom comes to pick him up, and despite him trying to convince his mom that he should stay because Cassie's really freaked out, she's like, do you think I was born yesterday? You're not staying the night with your girlfriend.
You're
alone.
16.
You're gonna bone. Like, I'm not stupid. So she's like, absolutely not.
But doesn't she say Cassie can come over if she's really scared?
Exactly. She's like, yeah. But if Cassie wants to come over to our house, I'm more than happy to do that because, like, there will be an adult present and
yeah.
No shenanigans will be happening. But Cassie's kind of like, because she's responsible, because she's like, she has this job to do.
I would have left.
She's like, no.
But I'm not responsible.
I'll stay. I have like a duty, you know? Like, she wants to see it through. So Cassie doesn't go. Matt tells Cassie goodnight. He leaves. She says goodbye. Blah-dee, blah, blah. Cassie ends up getting cozy on the couch in the living room. She puts her jammies on. And she ends up falling asleep watching TV. When suddenly she is jolted awake as the power goes out yet again. So as the TV falls silent, she is left alone in the dark. And this is kind of like an old home too. So it's kind of like creaky and like,
oh, I hate that.
Has a lot of like sounds. And if it's like you're only staying there for a night, you don't know, you're not used to it, you know?
Yeah.
So she's not sure, like,
is any that, house I stay at, regardless, like at night, I always think it's creepy because I'm not familiar with it.
So she's like hearing some creaks, she's hearing some cracks, and she's kind of like, is that the house or is like someone in here, you know? Yeah. Like freaking herself out. Then the lights turn on again and then off again. And like, it's obvious that like someone's fucking with her. So she goes and she finds a flashlight and she starts calling out because now she can feel that someone's in the house with her. Like, you know that feeling you get when there's someone there?
I
just wish she
called the police. I would have called 911 and, like, barricaded myself somewhere and been like...
And I don't know if she, like, had a cell phone or not because it's 2006.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. And the power going out. Like, I think I did have a cell phone, but, like...
I had a cell phone at 13 and everyone's like, why at 13? I had a back brace, so... In case of back issues.
So your parents felt bad and they're like, here's a cell phone.
I mean, partly, yeah. But, like, also, like, for, like, back issues and stuff, it was important.
Yeah. No, I definitely had a cell phone, but, like, it wasn't like today where, like, you can press the side and, like, emergency services are
did calling, you have you know? To, did you do the cell phone thing where you shared it with Eric and Keith?
When we, like, first got a cell phone, I think I was maybe in, like, sixth grade. But it was like, do you remember those like brick, like walkie-talkie, like Nextel phones?
I had a Virgin Mobile, like big guy.
Yeah.
And luckily I didn't have to share it with Mark, but let's be honest, like it wouldn't have worked out.
No. So yeah, I'm not really sure like if maybe she just, if she did try to call the police on her cell phone or if she was just so freaked out she was trying to use the house phone. I'm not really sure the details on that. But she's... freaked out. So she's searching the house. She's got her flashlight. I can't imagine how terrifying that would be.
Yeah. No. Thank you.
Then she sees a man in a mask. Like a creepy...
Inside the house?
Inside the house. And as she, you know, screams and runs away, he pursues her. And then she's surprised by yet another man in a mask. So now... So she's like... Oh, there's fucking two.
Was it the ghost face mask?
No, they had different masks.
Okay.
I know. Whatever.
I mean, I hate it, but missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
I know. So they catch up to her. They chase her down. They kind of like tackle her to the ground in the living room. And one of them just starts going nuts and just starts stabbing her like repeatedly.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no fucking reason. So we fast forward to her cousin Kelsey coming home and finding Cassie lifeless and bloodied. And the police are immediately called and get to work. They're horrified at the sight of the poor young girl brutally murdered. And they quickly rule out a burglary gone wrong and... realize like there's nothing missing from the home.
So, yeah, like, so like what was the purpose of this?
Yeah, like what the fuck is happening? And they turn to the last person to see Cassie Jo alive,
her boyfriend.
Which was Matt. And what's strange about questioning Matt is that
I have to say, and she shouldn't, how do you think the mom felt?
Cassie's mom?
No, like his mom.
Oh, Matt's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, she probably felt like shit.
Yeah.
Cause like, if only she had insisted.
Not her
if
fault.
Only
not
she
her
had
fault.
Believed. Yeah. No, but I'm sure those are the thoughts going through her mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like, oh, my son.
Oh, my God.
Which I totally, like, as a 16-year-old son, I would have said the same thing. Like, absolutely not. But then, like.
Do you think I'm dumb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, like, oh, I bet she felt like shit. She's like, oh, fuck, she got killed.
Right. Oh, yeah. So what they find strange about when they go to, like, question Matt is that. He's, like, strangely emotionless.
Her boyfriend?
Yeah. Like, you just found out your girlfriend died, and he's just kind of, like...
I wouldn't be a human for like months.
Right. So, which is another thing where it's like, we don't know how people grieve. We don't know how people process things. So maybe he's just like in shock, you know, like we don't know. But the police were kind of like, a red flag.
But it could have been like survivor's guilt a little bit because he knew something was up and he was like, I just let my mom take me home.
Yeah. But he seems to be truthful. Like, even though he's kind of like emotionless, everything he says seems to be like it doesn't seem like he's lying.
Yeah.
And so they don't rule him out just yet. And then, you know, after talking to him, they learn that, oh, like there were two other boys there that night. So that's when they set out to question Brian and Tori. The two boys tell the police that they did come over the night of September 22nd to hang out with their friends. And both Brian and Tori confirmed that they got bored and left to go see Slayer 4. Now, here's where the red flags start popping up for the investigators with them.
Yeah.
Neither boy could tell them anything about the movie. They couldn't tell them who was in it. They couldn't tell them what it was about.
So they didn't even go see it.
Plot line, like basic shit. Where it's like, dude, you just saw this movie two days ago.
You can remember.
You can't tell me any details about it.
Yeah.
And you're like these so-called like movie buffs. Like something's not adding up. So they were kind of like,
two plus two doesn't equal five.
Well, and they were like, well, maybe that was their cover story. Maybe they were like drinking in the woods or something. You know, it's like fucking teenagers. Yeah. You don't know.
I forget that teenagers are dumb.
Right. And maybe they're just covering for like, they thought they were going to get in trouble for something else. So they're just kind of like, weird. Noted. But investigators want to clear Matt. So he ends up doing a polygraph. And that came back that he was completely truthful in all of his answers. Not that polygraphs really are that reliable, but it to them, they were like, off
point
okay,
for investigators.
Yeah, let's check him off.
Yeah.
And his story remained consistent after telling it several times.
Matt?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, I don't think he's the one. Shortly after Matt is cleared.
You have to look at the romantic partner more than any other person. Yeah.
Yeah. So after Matt's cleared, Brian shows up to the police department and he's crying. Investigators are like, jackpot, this little idiot is going to tell us the real story.
Like, stupid idiot.
I mean, they probably didn't call him an idiot, but that's just my own words.
Yeah.
So Brian tells the police that he and Tori were just going to play a prank on Cassie. They just wanted to scare her, so they fucked with the lights and they heard her scream and they were like, yeah, that's so funny. And then they put on their masks.
I don't know about friendship, but I've never been like, you know what would be really fun? Fucking with my friends so hard that they're like freaking out.
Yeah, I don't have friends like that because I would not be their friend after they did something.
Okay, I will note that I will not come over and just start fucking with your electricity.
Right, like, who does that?
When Steven's out of town. Yeah, that's so fucked. That's so fucked.
Yeah. So, yeah, then after they fuck with the lights, they're like, let's put on these masks. And, like, Brian tells investigators that they snuck into the house through an unlocked back door.
Shit.
Yeah. And excuse me. Brian says that even though they brought knives, they weren't intending to use them.
Okay.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Okay. Fucking with the lights. Absolutely don't do that. But bringing an actual fucking knife?
And masks?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Like, I wouldn't do any of those things to begin with, but like, that's where the escalation is, bro.
Next level, like, that's not a prank anymore. That's you being like a huge asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so then he claims that Tori went nuts and was, like, talking crazy about how he needed to kill Cassie and that he was going to. And next thing Brian knows, they're chasing Cassie through the house when Tori catches her and begins to stab her.
Yes, it was only Tori by himself.
It was all Tori. It definitely wasn't me at all.
I didn't do anything.
He claimed that Tori insisted Brian stab her too, but Brian refused. he didn't stab her at all. He's adamant that Tori was the one who did all the stabbing, who, like, went off the deep end and decided to kill Cassie on their prank night.
Jesus Christ.
I know, right? Like, dude. So then, to the investigator's surprise, Brian gives them even more information. He tells them that after they committed the murder, they cleaned up as best they could, they gathered up all the incriminating evidence against them, and then they went and buried it. So Brian led the police to the spot where they bury their masks, their knives. They even had, like, ropes.
I bury my stuff when I'm innocent.
Like, super casual and normal. So, there was, like, the videotapes that they found, too. One videotape, sorry. So the police are like, I'm sorry, what is this videotape? Like, Brian never mentioned
in his... Oh, God, this videotape is so fucked.
...confession about anything about a videotape. They're like, what's on this? And Brian's like,
I don't know, maybe you should watch it.
So then they have to watch it. And to their utter horror, it is a homemade tape of Brian and Tori the day before and the day of... the murder.
Talking about killing Cassie.
Yeah. They're laughing. They're discussing.
Well, they are disgusting.
They are disgusting. So you're not wrong. They're discussing their plan to murder their friend. Like, it's so creepy. And they even go so far as to say that just thinking about it turns them on.
I'm like, getting so hot just thinking about it.
Like,
I remember the reason I know about this case is because I saw something on Instagram where they're like, these boys murdered their friend, and he's like, I'm getting so hot even thinking about it. She's gonna be home alone. How perfect can it get?
Yeah, like,
it's fucked.
Yeah, it's super fucked.
I was like, hold up, I need to see what this is about.
Yeah, so the footage is just, it's so gross and so disturbing. They're comparing themselves to serial killers like Ted Bundy. They're saying that they're, like, way smarter than those people. Like, notorious serial killers. Not that they're, like, smarter or anything. But, like, they're really just thinking that
they're, like... We haven't figured out better.
Yeah, like, they think they're, like...
gonna get away.
Eventually, like, the FBI is gonna, like, look back on these tapes and be like... You know, Tori and Brian, the notorious serial killers. Like,
who's so smart and so brave?
Yeah, we're gonna, like, study them. And it's like, no.
No. You are as... deep as a puddle, my friends.
Yeah. So, luckily, I guess, they didn't actually film the murder, but they filmed the lead up to it. So, they're, like, talking about it, and then they, like, turn the camera off, and then they go and do it, and they...
We just did it. We just killed Cassie. Yeah. It's then, like...
And they're, like, excited. Like, it's so creepy hearing how...
stoked they are.
Yeah. Like,
it's both of them. It's not one or the other.
No,
it's
both, because they're both chatting back and forth. They're like, oh, I stabbed her neck. I stabbed this. Like, it's so
fucked.
It's so messed up. And due to both the boys admitting this on tape, Brian's original story is kind of thrown out the window. They're like, yeah, you said it was all Tori, and now we have fucking video evidence of you... and him
discussing about what you did. Yeah.
Yeah, so they both took part in the murder. And both boys were sentenced to life in prison, thank God. Without the possibility of parole.
Good. Bye.
Yeah, boy, bye. And Brian does now take accountability for his part in Cassie's murder. However, Tori is still clinging to his lie that only Brian did it. Because they both, like, during their trial, tried to say, like...
Did they turn on each other?
Yeah, they turned on each other. They had the same story, but it was like, oh, Brian did all the killing. Oh, Tori did all the killing. Like, they both tried to blame it on the other. Which is like...
You filmed it, you dinguses. You
fucking idiots. So, yeah, they're both in prison for life.
Good.
I mean... I'm glad that Brian is, like, taking accountability. I think he's, like, apologized to the family. But Tori is still like, Brian did it. I didn't do anything.
He apologized to the family. It means it was him.
Yeah. Like, it's embarrassing.
God, what an awful story.
Yeah. So they were just so inspired by Scream that they felt they need to like act it out, and that it was going to be like this really cool thing. And like, it's just, right. It's so gross. It's like, you really have no respect for life if that's what.
Okay. Like, so we like horror movies like Jennifer's Body, like I've mentioned a million times, but I don't go out and eat boys.
It's just, I don't know.
I don't understand why.
Why people feel the need to like replicate stuff like that. It's like, it's a story. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's like a ghost story. It's like an entertainment thing. It's like, ooh, that was scary. It freaked me out. Like, there's absolutely no need to try to do the same thing in real life. Like, why the fuck would you do that?
No need. No need.
It's just so strange to me. But yeah, those were the two stories that were my theme for tonight.
Yeah, that was a good one. And I think it's crazy. I didn't even know. I just wore my ghost face. I don't know. Something told me I should wear it tonight.
Perfect.
So did you see me walk in? You're like, oh, that's weird. I was like,
great. So yeah, those are the weird.
We'll post the picture of our almost guest speaker, Aspen.
Yeah.
And then Aspen was like, oh, Steven's leaving. I should go too. And I'm like, but Aspen.
Yeah. So we'll post the pictures of Aspen, our guest, and then we'll also post the pictures of all the victims of the Gainesville murders and the picture of Cassie Joe. And yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was a good one. Good work. Your stomach. Yeah. Your stomach was like, hey!
A terrible story. He's like, I hate it. But yeah, so if you have any suggestions, if you want to say hi to us on Instagram, we're at Mysterious Mavens Pod. You can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We have a TikTok, we have a YouTube, we have a Facebook group. We have a few followers on Facebook, so
do we?
Know, it's happening. Yeah.
Oh.
Is you have to like, wait to get to 100 until you can see who the follows are, so.
It's probably just, like, our moms.
Colleen, Karen. Well, what was kind of funny is when we made the group, you and me, like, were like, Steven and Keith, you have to like it. And Keith's like, okay. And I mean, I'm like, thank you. And God, then it was, like,
us.
For, like, a month, it was, like, you, me, and Steven and Keith. Like, we're on the Facebook group.
Oh,
but.
My God.
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people still use Facebook, yeah, so if you use it. I post engaging questions all, like, 3 times in the year we've had it. And
really?
Nobody has ever, yeah, I said, what's your favorite horror movie, ironically? And, like, nobody said anything. And then I was like, what's something that scares you? I don't know. Like, I
don't go on Facebook,
things.
So.
Danae, go but on also, Facebook and
that would
comment.
Be weird if I just answered your question. It's just us talking back and forth.
If you think I'm not.
Oh, man.
What's funny is whenever I'm on our Instagram, it always, like, shows me stuff you're doing, and I always want to like it. And I was like, I don't want to make it weird and be like.
Oh, why not?
Okay, well.
I like all our stuff on our Instagram.
I do, too. Like, did you notice I did that the other day? I went through, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to like this.
Oh, no, I didn't. I haven't checked our Instagram. But, yeah, anytime you, like, post the, like, new stuff, I'm like, share.
I know sometimes we put stories out. We should do it more.
Yeah.
But. All right.
Okay, until next time.
Take care of yourselves, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.